So good to be here again. Today I'll have us going through various scriptures. And I've tried to make it where it'll be, we're moving forward through the scriptures. Make it a little easier for us. So turn, if you would, to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. The name of the message is As Many As. And I'd like us to look at these three words in various texts. They're scattered together throughout the Word of God. And this will by no means be an exhaustive study of these three words. But we'll look at some passages in the Old Testament and we'll look at that have these three words. And we'll look at some in the New Testament that have these three words. And again, my hope and prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, will bless the souls of His blood-bought people with these three little words, as many as. Exodus 35, and again, we'll be reading a lot of Scripture, and I'll comment a little on each one that we look at with these words. Exodus 35 will be where we'll be first. And here in Exodus 35, the tabernacle was to be dedicated to honor to the honor of God and used in His service. And therefore, that which was being bought was for the setting up and the furnishing. And it was an offering unto the Lord. Let's look at verses 4 to 9, first of all. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, in oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, in onyx stones, and stones to be set for an ephod, and for the breastplates. Now let's look down at verses 20 and 22 in the same chapter. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. There's those three little words, as many as. And here we see they were willing hearted. And bought bracelets and earrings, and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now again, notice in verse 22 the phrase here, as many as. And again, here it's tied in again with them being willing-hearted. They were willing-hearted. None else came. None else came. And none else were asked to come but those who were willing-hearted. Of both sexes, men and women, and they heartily did this. They willingly did this. They willingly contributed to the uttermost of what they had for this service. There were others amongst the camp, though, but they weren't willing. They weren't willing. But here we see, as many as were willing-hearted, they bought these things. So let us keep that mind in mind through this study. They were willing-hearted, but yet there was others who were not willing. Turn now to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. And we see this phrase here is again used when Hezekiah restores temple worship. When he restores temple worship. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. And we'll read a longer portion here. We'll read verses 27 to 36 to get the context of the verse. 2 Chronicles 29. Starting in verse 27, And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Verse 28, And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thanks offering, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation bought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams, 200 lambs, and all these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. Now notice the congregation brought in sacrifices and thanks offerings, peace offerings, and that those are part of which the offerer had to feast upon with their friends, and so expressing their joy and thankfulness on this occasion. But they also bought, look in verse 31, they also bought, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. They bought these that were called a free heart burnt offerings. Now the free heart burnt offerings showed more generosity than in any other sacrifice, because they were wholly burnt and offered unto the Lord. They were offered unto Him. They were wholly burnt and offered unto the Lord. And the people had no share in them. No share in them, as they had in the rest. So let us keep in mind, in view, again we see there, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. We see that those three little words again. So let us keep in mind too, that the types and shadows here, the sacrifice pictured the sacrifice of Christ, made for His people. The king and His people in the text here rejoiced that the house of God was being cleansed and the peace was made with God. And now they had free access to temple service as before. And what a picture we have here before us of how Christ made peace for we who are sinners, we who are His people. We fell in Adam, didn't we? We fell, every one of us. And we need to have peace with God. And we have peace with God through the great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, who these sacrifices, the free heart burnt offerings, pictured. They pictured Christ. And having peace with God in the blood of His cross, we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So let us keep our eyes again to Christ. Now turn to the New Testament, if you would, Matthew chapter 22. And what mercies we have in Christ. And how the Old Testament types and pictures, how they come alive when we keep our eyes upon Christ. Now here in the New Testament, we'll see this phrase used again. Matthew 22, we'll read verses 1 to 14. It's the parable of the wedding feast, when the servants of the king are to go into the highways and the byways. And as many as they shall find, they are to bid to the marriage. And what a picture we have of gospel preaching. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner. It's all prepared. Now think of that in light. Think of that in light of the work of Christ. It's finished. It's finished. We gospel preachers, we preach a complete salvation. We bid sinners to come to Christ who finished the work. Right? My. Tell them which are bidden. Behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found. There's those three words again. As many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Oh, there's one amongst them that doesn't have a wedding garment on. He saith unto them, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, we know what the wedding garment is, don't we? It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness which every believer is clothed in. It's the righteousness of Christ. But note in verses 9 and 10, Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out of the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now the parable of the marriage feast, our Savior shows us why God cast off the nation of Israel and sent the gospel to the Gentiles. Without question, it was God's eternal purpose from eternity to save his elect from among the Gentiles, without question, wasn't it? God predestinated the fall of the Jews as the very means by which he would save his elect among the Gentiles. God didn't get caught with, oh, now I got to go to plan B. No, not at all. He didn't get caught that way at the fall, and he didn't get caught that way when Israel rejected Christ. No, not at all. There's no accidents in God's universe. None at all. Yet the cause of divine judgment upon this nation was and is their unbelief. Just as it is the cause of divine judgment upon any sinner in their unbelief in sin. And this is the glorious rule of the gospel, that those who were first bidden to the great wedding feast, the Jews, they would not come, and therefore Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. It was laid to waste. And now the gospel's preached to all nations, isn't it? It's preached to all nations, to all sorts of people. All sorts of people. But yet the same sinful rejection of the gospel is constantly being repeated, isn't it? Constantly. There are some here who week after week hear the gospel, Sunday to Sunday, and you're bidden to come to Christ. You're bidden to come to Christ. You're bidden to come to the Great Supper, yet you will not come. You will not come. You see no need of the Great Physician. You see no need of the Great Physician. You do not see your desperate need in your state. And our prayer as believers is that God the Holy Spirit would show you your state. That He'd reveal to you your desperate state. Your desperate need of Christ. And beloved of God, our great God in His infinite mercy is sending the gospel to the poorest and vilest of mankind. Revealing Christ to them as He pleases. And He makes the unwilling willing. And every believer can say, I can testify of that. Oh my, He saved this sinner right here. Praise His mighty name. What a great God we have. The unwilling are made willing. The sin sick flee to the great physician. May God make it so for you if you haven't fled to Christ. And note the general call of the gospel. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. The general call of the gospel, it goes out. And note who come. Look at verse 10. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Oh, I'm one of the bad. Actually, we all are who are blood-bought people, aren't we? Oh, my. The highways were open and public. Much people were passing through their highways, and they walked then. They didn't have vehicles like we have. They walked. They traveled by horse or walked. And many people traveled them. Gill brings forth that the high roads where many passengers were traveling and may design the Gentile world and the Gentile sinners who in respect of the Jews were far off. We're all Gentiles in this room. Oh my, far off, we're walking in their own ways. That was me. Was it you? Is it you? And in the high road to destruction, and may denote the, being the vilest of sinners and as having nothing to recommend them to divine favor and to such privileges. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. They were to go out, and as many as ye find were to bid to the marriage feast. And the gospel preacher, we go to the world and we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every creature. I don't know who God's elect are. I have no idea. But I know they're out there. God knows who they are. And election's nothing to be afraid of. It's a Bible word. Elect means chosen. It's God's prerogative to choose whom he will save. Who are we? Who are we to reply against God? He's God. Yeah, I was thinking about this. He is so far above us, beloved. We can't even fathom who he is. And yet God condescends to become a man to save clay like this. To save, as Spurgeon said, animated dust. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the gospel's preacher is to preach the gospel to every creature, Jew, Gentile, high, low, rich, poor, outwardly righteous or openly profane, greater or lesser sinners. And we are to exhort sinners to flee to Christ. And as many as they found from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, they will sit down in the kingdom of God. Which brings us to our next scripture. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Where we see this phrase again. John chapter 1. Verses 6 to 13 we'll read. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, oh, praise God for the word but, eh? In Scripture. But, as many as, what? Received him. Look at this. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So verse 13 takes man totally out of the equation. We're simply receivers of this wondrous, marvelous grace. We can't earn it. But notice in verse 12, as many as received him. Who did those spoken of in verse 12 receive? Well, he's identified as the light in verses 7, 8, and 9. This is the light who John said he was not, but whom he was sent to testify the one who is spoken of in verse 9, the true light. And note in verse 12 that the as many as spoken of, they were given power to believe on his name. Mercy, mercy, mercy springs forth from this verse before us. Again, those who are by nature unwilling, those who by nature would never receive him, they're given power to receive he who is the true light. And let us look and see in verse 12 who he is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. And look at verse 14 here. What's his name? The Word. The Word. The same one spoken of in verse 1, who was God and is God. And the Word was made flesh. God incarnate in the flesh, beloved. The very one who spoke the worlds into existence. And the Word was made flesh and what? And dwelt among us. And these apostles, they beheld him like we beheld each other, like we behold each other. They saw him face to face. They touched him. John laid his head upon the breast of Christ. They were eyewitnesses. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Look at this. Full of grace and truth. Christ is full of grace and truth. What mercy we've received in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Look at verse 16. And of this fullness have all we received, in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God's people can say, grace and truth came to me by and through Christ and Christ alone. I received mercy. I obtained mercy. I deserve wrath, but yet I obtained mercy. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. And note again the word power here in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power. How did these persons spoken of, how did they receive, how did these as many as receive him? Well, others rejected him. Well, there's some great change that has happened. That's been wrought in them to make them different from the rest of their countrymen. And this was true. And this is true for every one of God's blood-bought people. We're twice born. We're twice born. We're born by birth, and we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Regenerated. Regenerated. And the word power there in the Greek means permissible, allowed, permission, authority, right, liberty, power to do something. See, in our natural state, we all hate God. And our will is bound to our nature. We have a will, but it's bound to our nature, isn't it? Is bound to our nature. So if we have a dead nature, which is ruled by sin, all we will choose is sin. Right? It's all we'll choose. But when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, now we have a new nature. Now we're governed by a new nature. And it wars with this flesh right here. My worst enemy is myself. This flesh. Is it so for you? Oh my. What a glorious day it'll be when we get to be home with the Lord and we'll be absolutely sinless. What a glorious day that'll be. Oh my, it'll be wonderful. Thy people, and see this Greek word here ties in with thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. The unwilling are made willing. And it's all by God's sovereign almighty hand. And then we as Brother Joe said, we cry out for mercy, don't we? We cry out. We believe. Born again, what comes first? Faith or regeneration? Most folks will say, well, faith. No, regeneration. You must be born again. And the fruit of regeneration is we have faith and repentance. We turn to Christ. We turn to Christ. We cling to Him. And I like what old Henry Mahan said one time. He said, faith and repentance is like a piece of paper. One side you got faith, and one side you got repentance. And they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And they're both a gift from God. They're both a gift from God. Oh my. See, we're just receivers, beloved. We're receivers of this wonderful, wonderful mercy. Now, I'm going to have us go back to Matthew. I know we were in John. This is the one time I'm going to have us go back. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 14. And here we see the Lord healing the sick in Gennesaret. And we'll see this little phrase. We'll just touch on this really, really quickly. Matthew 14, verses 34 to 36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And look at this. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. There's that little word again, those three little words again. As many as touched were what? Were made perfectly whole. Have you by faith laid hold of Jesus? Oh my. What a picture. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. And here before us we have given a marvelous demonstration of Christ's divine goodness and grace. Our surety delights in mercy, beloved. He delights in mercy. Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And God's people can say, I've tasted that. I've tasted that. He bore our sins, beloved, the sins of His people. And now He sits enthroned on high. And yet He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's moved with compassion towards His poor, needy people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He knoweth how to succor them that are tempted. And it's still true today, as many as touch Him are made perfectly whole. As many as by faith who touch the hem of the garment are made whole. Have you touched by faith, touched the hem of His garment? Be made whole. Have you by faith been made to look to the great physician? May God make you willing to do so today. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Our Lord's high priestly prayer. And this ties right in with John chapter 1 that we looked at. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Look at this. Look at this wonderful portion. And may this just be honey to our souls as believers. Because every one of the elect of God, we can see ourselves in these pictures, can't we? It's wonderful. Look at this in John 17, verses 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now right there, that statement right there by the Lord Jesus Christ should absolutely dispel any doubt of God's absolute sovereignty. Right there. But yet, Brother Norm Wells and I was talking one time, and he says, you know what the problem is? Men don't believe what the Scriptures say. God's people do. We read that and go, we rejoice. Our God's in control. He's in control. Look at this. That he should give eternal life to what? Look at this. Now this is where we're numbered, beloved. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Every one of the elect are part of that as many there. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And note, God has given a people to Christ, and our Lord's reference to them is, as many as thou hast given him. They were given to him by the Father in eternity. And it's for those for whom Christ died. Upon Calvary's tree. And it's for those, it's those whom Christ reveals himself to. And the words here are plainly restrictive and limits the gift to a certain number. Those whom the Father gave to Christ. All whom the Father hath given him shall come. Shall come. Now we don't know who they are, do we? That's why the gospel is preached to everyone. And God does the saving. God does the saving. He draws in his lost sheep. And it's not by the will of man. Right? We saw that in John chapter 1. It's not by our will. If you're saved, it's by God's will. And the believer rejoices in that, because we know we never would have come to him. But all that the Father had given to Christ shall come. There will not be one lost. Not be one lost. And they receive him as their high priest. And they'll give themselves to be ruled and guided by him. We submit to his lordship, don't we? We don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. God beat us to it. He was Lord in glory. He was Lord when he was a baby. He was Lord when he was on the cross. He was Lord when he rose from the grave in blood. He's Lord right now. And there's no one who makes him Lord. He's Lord. We just acknowledge his lordship, don't we? Yeah, he's Lord. He's our King. He's our God. And beloved, not one for whom Christ died for. Not one for whom God gave to Christ will be lost. Not one. And you know how that makes me feel, knowing that I'm one of his people. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to our Lord in prayer, right? Yeah. Just give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to your God. Give it to our God. And by the efficacious working of the Spirit of grace, again, the unwilling by nature are made willing to come to Christ. As many as the Father gave to Christ, they come. They come. Marvel at this. Marvel at this. You who are the beloved of God, marvel at this. Don't ever let it become commonplace. Marvel that you are one of the number. Marvel at it. That he's undertaken to redeem you, and that he will guard you and watch over you. In the believer in Christ, we just marvel that we're included in that number. There's a song I remember we sang at Rescue. He included me. I don't know if we've ever sang it here. Not when I've been here, but ever before. He included me. Oh, praise God, he included me. Now let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll read verses 46 to 49. We'll see this statement again. We'll see this statement again. When Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down, and when they were given the chance, Paul asked for an audience, and he proclaimed Christ to them. He proclaimed Christ to them. And take note of verses 46 to 49. Acts 13, verses 46 to 49. And this will tie right in with John 17. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look at this in Acts 13, verses 46 to 49. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Because I'm a Gentile. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? Oh, my. For so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And look at this. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Now we know from John 1, they are given power to believe, weren't they? We know that. And you see where scripture ties with scripture. The unwilling are made willing. It's wonderful. Gill brings forth this: faith is not the cause or condition of the decree of eternal life, but a means fixed in it, and it's a fruit and effect of it, and what certainty falls upon it. As in these persons. So it's a lie when people say God looked down through time and saw who would choose him and then chose them. No, God looked down through time and saw everyone was lost. And by his mercy and his grace, he chose to save a people. And see, as a recipient of that grace, it just brings you low. It just brings you low. It makes you marvel. I know what this mouth used to speak about my King when I was lost. To my shame. And to think that he had mercy upon me. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, not all who were present there believed, did they? But as many as were ordained to eternal life did. Those who were ordained believed. Those who were chosen by the free grace of God in the council halls of eternity, by God's grace alone, believed. Believed. And though election is unknown to us, God's election is unknown to us until it's revealed to us. Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. Just let that sink in. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Even when we were cursing his name. Even when we were doing things we know we should never have done. Isn't that amazing? Even when, as scriptures say, we were enemies in our mind. Yet he's loved his people with an everlasting love. Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. So election is not doubtful or in suspense in God's secret counsel. It says here they were ordained to eternal life in the council halls of eternity. We know that. Because it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And as a believer, I just look at that and marvel. Don't you? That I'm included in that number. Because that's true of every believer, right? That's true of every believer in Christ. God gave them to Christ, and Christ will be a faithful keeper, a faithful shepherd of His people unto the end. And God's people say, praise His mighty name. Because if I was left to myself, I'd be gone. Be so for all of us. I was thinking about this morning. In light of the mercy that I received in Christ. And I thought, I remember when I was in religion, and people used to say, well, if I was at the cross, I wouldn't have cursed Christ. I wouldn't have cast words at Him. Oh, the self-righteousness of people. Because left in our natural state, every one of us would have been just like those Jews. Every one of us. Be cursing His name. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Mercy, mercy, mercy. A flood, an ocean, a vast ocean, immeasurable of mercy God's people have received. It's incredible. Let's close with this portion in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where we see this statement proclaimed again of the heirs of salvation and of their future glory. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 12. And in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And now remember, this portion starts out in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And I've said this many times from the pulpit here. Condemnation there is there's no judgment. Oh man, that'll just make your heart rejoice. So again, I'll start at verse 12 with that in mind. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, look at that, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out to the Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon... Now think of this. Our sufferings to us, they seem great, don't they? And we go through sufferings in this world, God's people. But think, in light of our sufferings, think of what Christ suffered for us. Oh my. But look what Paul pens here, because he knows God's people are going to suffer. Look at this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh my. We suffer a little bit here. But oh, the glory, we're going to see Christ. We're going to see our Savior face to face. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, beloved, we'll be delivered from this bondage of sin one day. One day. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We won't sin no more in glory. It'll be wonderful. Oh my. So we've now seen a thread through the Old Testament and the New as with the words as many as. We've looked at how the elect of God are either in type or picture. And then we saw them visible in Acts 13, didn't we? As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And we see here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that those who are the as many as, they they are led by the Spirit of God, and they are the sons of God. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And this is evidence of a union with Christ. The believer is regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. We're baptized into Christ by the Spirit. We're taught by the Holy Spirit. We pray, we worship, we praise, we sing, and we live and are led by the Holy Spirit of God. As many as. As many as. Is it any wonder then, we who are His blood-bought people, we who are born again, that we seek to give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise? Is it any wonder that we seek that? And the reason we do that is because we've been taught of God that He is the only one worthy of our praise. He is the only one. As many as, three little words, but in connection with the verses we've looked at, how wondrous they are. How wondrous they are, especially, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. Oh my. The believer in Christ proclaims wonders of wonders. He included me. He included me in that number. Praise His mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had through Thy Word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take these words and apply it to Your people, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, that we'd learn to lean more and more upon Thee, and that we would marvel and be in awe that we are included in the as many as were given to You, Lord Jesus, by the Father in eternity. Marvel. What a marvel of grace. We pray that You be glorified and magnified throughout the week in our speech and as we gather together and study Your Scriptures again. Oh Lord, give travel mercies as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.